Fourth and final hour on this rainy Monday to start off the week. Doesn't feel like a rainy day when you consider what happened in this market. Predators get a big come-from-behind victory Saturday afternoon down in Dallas against the Stars. The Vols rip apart Kentucky in Knoxville. Vanderbilt almost pulled off the win in Missouri. By the way, they were a six, depending on where you look, anywhere from a 16 to 17 point underdog against Missouri and could have won the game.
Probably
should have won the game.
I thought for a second you were going to say the only place it's raining today is on West End.
Yeah.
Based off of the weekend.
Yeah. Probably like just a kind of a cloud just hanging
cloud
over.
Hanging.
Yeah. And our next guest will probably weigh in on this too because he took them in underdogs. He probably would have liked to have that. I think in our underdog pick,
it was a good pick.
17.
It was a good pick.
And then, of course, the Titans take care of business at Nissan Stadium. We say hello to former Titans wide receiver and now part of our morning drive here on 102.5 The Game, D-Mace, Derek Mason. Derek, what's up?
Nothing much. Yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row where a team has had a nice lead and managed to squander it away. A&M last week, and I'm just talking about in regards to silly underdogs. A&M last week and now Vandy. And this is, what, the third time now where Vandy has had a lead and of more than 10 points and have managed to squander it away and haven't been able to finish games.
Yeah, they were up 21-3 against Florida at home. What was the other one?
What was it? This past game, and I thought it was another one. They were up and end up losing.
They're in the Notre Dame game right to the end.
Yeah, they're in the Notre Dame game, the Florida game, the Missouri game. So I guess it was just two games where they had an opportunity to pull out a victory and would have, you know, changed the narrative of Vanderbilt football this season. But they didn't do it. And they walk away with another close defeat.
It wasn't a lead, but the Kentucky game they were in right down
yeah,
to
the
end, too. And so
yeah.
There's several games out there this year where you just say, gosh, if Vanderbilt could finish,
mm-hmm.
how different this year could be.
And that's,
yeah, you're right, Tom.
And that's what the Titans are doing. They're finishing. They are finishing the job. And they did it in Dallas. They came out in the second half and closed the deal. They did it yesterday where I said this morning, all day on the show today, Derek, I kept waiting for that wave. I kept waiting for the Patriots comeback. I kept going, okay. I hearken back to our conversation. Remember when MTSU, I hate to bring this up as the example, when MTSU upset Michigan State, one of the biggest upsets in NCAA tournament history, and I kept waiting for the Spartans to come back. I kept waiting for that wave. When does this 14-2 run happen? It never happened. And, of course, it never happened yesterday, which is a real credit to the Titans.
Yeah, it is. The Titans went, you know, at home. They came out and they took care of business. You know, you were kind of leery or kind of unsettled because knowing what they've done in prior games where they won two games and then end up, you know, squandering away a victory against a team they should beat, whether, you know, Buffalo or Miami. But this game, they came in and they took full advantage, I think, of a team that for the first time I thought New England looked old and slow. Maybe because of their injuries. And when I say that, I'm not saying that, you know, it's done for New England. The dynasty is over. I'm not saying that because they've done this before where they've gotten blown out and they find themselves in the Super Bowl either winning or losing on the last, you know, possession. But I did see a team that I think couldn't wait to get into the bye week. And I saw another team in the Titans that looked as if they were full of energy and they were up for the challenge and taking on a team that many consider, you know, one of the top two or three teams in the National Football League. So they did it 3 or 4 weeks ago to Philadelphia, and now they've done it to New England.
What do you think is the right target amount for Corey Davis moving forward? What do you think they should have in their game plan week in and week out the rest of the season for Corey Davis? What's fair and realistic?
I think, you know, realistically and fair, it's going to have to be double-digit targets every game from here on out. Now, you know, weather might dictate how many targets he gets, or, you know, how a defense is playing might dictate that. But they should come into the game because this is the fifth pick in the NFL draft 2 years ago. So he should be looking at double digits. And when I say double digits, I'm talking 12 to 15 times a game. That's what realistically he should be expecting each and every game. And it will only help Jonnu Smith, who's coming on now, and only help Tajay Sharpe and Taywan Taylor and Jennings, who made big plays as well, and Batson as well. So, but the game plan from a passing standpoint should be built around Corey Davis.
Former Titans receiver Derek Mason joining us here on 102.5 The Game. Derek, the first seven games of the season, the Titans scored seven offensive touchdowns. They scored eight offensive touchdowns in eight quarters in the last 7 days. What has gotten into the offense that has made such a drastic difference here since the bye week?
Two things. I think one is the guys are starting to get a little bit more comfortable in the offense because of, you know, this new NFL where, you know, you can't spend as much time together in off season. Now it's taking offenses a little while to get adjusted to new systems. And that's what you've seen. Now, hopefully they can keep it going, but that's what you've seen. That's what you saw the first half of the season, where they were still getting used to the offense. Mariota wasn't just dropping back and letting it rip. He was hesitating some. And when you hesitate in this game, you go from being open to covered very quickly. Now you're starting to see in the last two or three games where Marcus is just, you know, hitting that back step and he's throwing it, play action, and he's throwing it. He's not hesitating too much. And I think the most important thing is that guys are catching the ball now. You know, prior to the, I think, Dallas game, we were talking about guys dropping balls, whether it's Jonnu Smith, whether it's Taywan Taylor, or even Corey Davis and Sharpe. They were dropping balls. Now those balls that they were dropping, you know, three, 4 games ago, they're catching them, and they're gaining confidence, and Marcus is gaining confidence in them. So now he's not hesitating, and guys are catching the ball now.
Yeah, he's not tentative anymore. And I'm curious if you see this as well, but one of the big things I think that is the difference for the offense is that Mariota looks like a guy who's fully healthy now. He's ditched the protective glove, and it seems like he feels like he can make all the throws, and therefore he is. We always hear people say a great quarterback can throw guys open, D-Mace. I feel like yesterday, and even the Dallas game, we've seen some examples. Cam Batson on the sideline yesterday, Corey Davis in the end zone, even the Jonnu Smith touchdown. You go back to Dallas, Darius Jennings down the middle of the field. I feel like he's thrown balls into windows in these two games that are what the elite quarterbacks do that people have said has been missing in Marcus Mariota's game.
Yeah, it has. You've seen flashes of it where he's throwing it in tight spots or just let it rip and throwing it to an area where he's throwing the receiver open. You've seen it in bits and pieces, but he hasn't done it consistently. What he's doing now is he's consistently throwing those passes, and guys are consistently catching the football. Yes, and it does help when you're, you know, fully healthy. You don't have to worry about where to protect the glove or worry about your knees or your ankles or anything. You just go out there and play football and let it rip. And as the weeks go on, Marcus is just gaining confidence in his offense. And I guarantee you over the bye week, he and LaFleur sat down and the quarterback's coach sat down and they explained to Marcus, listen, just throw it. Trust what you see in the defense. Trust what you see from your guys and just let it rip. I mean, you're going to throw interceptions, it's fine, but just throw the ball and expect your receivers to go and get it. And that's what Marcus is doing.
The worst performance we've seen from the Titans this year was a 21-0 shutout at home against the Ravens. Since then, Baltimore has failed to win, and there was a report earlier today, Derek, not sure if you saw this, but that John Harbaugh and the Ravens may be nearing a mutual decision to part ways at the end of the season. As someone who knows that organization and knows John Harbaugh very well, what do you think about where that team stands right now and what his future may be in Baltimore?
From what I've heard, you know, it's a mutual decision. It's a mutual split at the end of the season. I don't know what has put them, you know, to what has, you know, made them, you know, want to go in another direction. One reason could be Ozzie Newsome is stepping down at the end of the season, so they're getting a new GM. Maybe the new GM want to go in another direction with the new head coach. He wants to be able to hire his own coach. John was Ozzie's hire. And maybe DaCosta wants to, you know, hire his own coach. You never know. But this team they're still in the hunt for playoff. I think they sit right now at the 6th or 7th spot, just ahead of the Titans in the playoff picture. So this team is still in the playoff picture. I wonder what's going to happen if indeed this team gets in the playoff and they go on a run. Are you still willing to part ways with John Harbaugh if he indeed gets his team going in the playoffs? So it'll be interesting to see it. But I know Ozzie's stepping down at the end of the season, and maybe again DaCosta wants to go in another direction with his own head coach.
Real quickly, as we wrap this up, Derek, what do you see out of guys that aren't on everybody's radar, like Darius Jennings? I mean, just think about how close he was to this all ending in the game that they could have, in the Philadelphia game. It could end up being the Darius Jennings game, and then where he's at today, and then Cam Batson, who's been kind of in and out, off the team, on the team. Well, he made a big catch. What do you see out of those two guys?
I see guys that are taking full advantage of opportunities that they're given. In this profession, you're only given so many opportunities to show that you can play. And when they call your number, you got to be ready. You can't get ready. You got to be ready. And it seems as if Jennings and Batson, those guys are ready to contribute in any way. And when they get their hands on the ball, they're catching it more than not. So these are guys that are just trying to, you know, make an impact somehow, some way, whether it be special teams or on the offensive side of the ball.
D-Mace, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your rainy day.
All right, fellas, have a good one.
No pool time for you.
Oh, no.
Or yard work with no shirt on. D-Mace, every Monday at 1 o'clock, he joins us. When we come back, I'm going to give you a Titan stat that will blow your mind.
I'm
ready. It's going to blow your mind. This is courtesy of Brian Baldinger.
I'm prepared.
Okay, you ready for it? That'll be on the other side. You're listening to Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.